How's everybody doing today? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
So, is there anybody watching the football this evening? Anybody been keeping an eye on the football? Anybody?
Yes.
So interesting. I picked up, I was reading the news yesterday morning, and I was reading in the Telegraph, and they're quoting one of the footballers. And this is what he says: God has got my back. God has got my back. I didn't realize, there's lots of them are born again Christians. Praise God. Such confidence and boldness. And it's wonderful when people profess the name of the Lord. And this morning I want to talk about confidence. Confidence in prayer. We can pray confident prayers. We can pray confident prayers. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. And what I'm going to share with you today is that as we spend time with Jesus, our prayers can be very bold and confident. That is what we will learn this morning. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. They realized these folks had been with Jesus. And this is what made all the difference. Can we just remind ourselves about the situation we are in here? In Acts chapter 2, we have the day of Pentecost, right? Holy Spirit poured upon God's people. Everything changed. 3,000 people were added to the church. 3,000 people were born again. And at the second public gathering, over 5,000 people were saved. That is a good turnout, isn't it? Whoa, do it again, Lord, do it again.
Amen.
Historians say that within 6 months of Pentecost, there were over 100,000 born-again believers in Jerusalem. Within 6 months, that's what they estimate, based on the historical data. That is amazing. Now, when we get to chapter 3, we've got the lame man walking. Wow, that caused a stir, didn't it? That really caused a stir. The enemy does not like the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. But it was undeniable. It was in your eye. It was undeniable. And what happens is that Peter and John, they were arrested because of their witness for Christ. But they did not waver. They did not waver. And they stood trial before the Jewish rulers, the elders, and the scribes in Jerusalem. And this is when we read this scripture. They saw the boldness of them. These guys were so confident. They thought, how can this be? Then they realized they have been with Jesus. Being with Jesus makes a difference. Because remember before, Peter went away and denied the Lord. But now the Holy Spirit is in him and on him and through him. And he is full of boldness. And when I was reading the Telegraph, I thought, good on you, footballers, that you're professing the name of Jesus to the world. And the conclusion of the article, this is a paper that's not a Christian paper, but the conclusion was, these people have a more balanced perspective. They've got a more balanced perspective. Why? Because their life is centered on Jesus. They know where they're heading. They have a secure foundation in their life. I thought that was so glorious. How would we be if we go and we have an open air and we end up being arrested? Can you imagine yourself going before the sheriff's court and they're saying you broke the law? You were not allowed to speak that name. You know, it could happen. It could happen. We get more and more restricted, don't we, as Christians? Don't offend people, blah, 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 blah. So you could imagine a kind of situation. Would we have the boldness of Peter and John? Let's look at Acts 4, 18 to 20. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That is boldness. That is confidence not in themselves, but in the Lord. Would I react like that if I was before the sheriff? Would you? Questions we can ask ourselves, eh? But this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Boldness. And I was thinking, okay, any other examples? Well, within the last year, Melvin and I have been in meetings twice. We were praying for Parliament or for the politics in the nations. And Kate Ford was there. Now, whether you agree with her politics or not, I can tell you this. When you hear her pray, you immediately say, she has been with Jesus. I can tell you that because I've heard her pray twice. It's powerful prayers. So, when we spend time with the Lord, it changes things. And you get the Holy Spirit boldness. I want to tell you a story about a soldier. You like stories? It's a short story. This soldier was getting court-martialed. He was accused of falling asleep on duty. And he said, I was not sleeping, I was praying. And they were mocking him. They didn't believe him. So in the court they decided, okay, let's hear you pray. This man started to pray. See, when he finished praying, they had to drop the charges. Because they said, they concluded it would be impossible to pray like that in public unless you spend extensive time praying privately. Glory to God. He'd been with Jesus. It makes such a difference. When you've been with Jesus, your life changes. It makes a difference. There is a boldness and a confidence that comes by the Holy Spirit. Back to Acts 4, verse 29 and 30 to 30. So after all this happened, and they've been, imprisoned, etc. This is how they pray. Listen to how they pray. They say, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. All boldness. They are not praying for the persecution to stop. They're not praying for an easy life. They are praying for boldness. Boldness. Boldness that we would speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders might be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Oh, they were praying for revival. They were surely praying for revival. They were not praying for an easy life. They were praying in confidence for a move of God. That is what we should be praying right now, right in this age. This is how we need to pray. Not for easy lives. We need to pray for Holy Spirit boldness and confidence and for a move of God, that God demonstrates his word because he said he would do that. It's time for us to pray that. We have the prophetic words for Livingston, for West Lothian. Let's declare it. Let's pray it into being. Let's pray it into being. So how do you do that? Number one, first of all, you have to be born again. This kind of praying doesn't come if you're not born again. Why? Because that kind of boldness comes from relationship. It comes from being a daughter, being a son. So first of all, you must be born again. Oh yes, but I believe in God. Well, Jesus said, even the devils believe that God exists. They know. But you have to submit your life to Jesus. You have to be born again. Nobody else can do that for you. It's a decision by the use of your will. We make a choice to give our life to Christ because He gave His life first for us. We make that choice. We take that step and we say, I now want to follow Jesus. We submit to Him, we confess our sins, we turn away from the old way and we start following Jesus to be born again. And something happens on your inside by the Holy Spirit and you are born again. That is your number one. Come into the family of God, being born again. Once you come into the family of God, there's someone that's praying for you. Do you know that there's someone praying for you? Do you know? Very powerful. Very powerful. How do you know that? How do I know there's someone praying for you? The scriptures tells me. Let's go to John 17, and this is Jesus speaking in verse 9. This is part of the prayer that Jesus is making to the Father. He says, I pray for them. Who's them? Those that have received the word, those that have said yes to Jesus. Jesus is saying, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. This is astounding. Jesus is praying for you. If you are born again, if you've said yes to Jesus, Jesus is praying for you. He is praying for me. Oh, glory. I can't have a better intercessor than Jesus Himself. Wow. Amazing. Hebrews 7:27. This is talking about, it's still Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Many scriptures tells us that Jesus is constantly making intercession. Jesus is praying for you now. He's praying for me now. This is what the Word of God says, constantly praying and interceding. Wow, wow, wow. How powerful is that? Well, why is Jesus saying He's not praying for the world? Who's praying for the world? Who's praying for those that are not saved then? Who's that left to? It's left to us. It's left to us. Wow. Is that a bit of a handful? Does that make us all think that we should be praying a lot more than we are? I think so. I think so. But that's what He said, I'm not praying for the world. So we have to do that. Jesus did come. God so loved the world that He gave. So Jesus came so that everybody could get saved, give the opportunity. But Jesus is saying, I am not praying for them. So He's leaving that for us. Because we are the ones now to spread the gospel. Once you come into the kingdom of God, we are the ones to spread the gospel to everybody else by the Holy Spirit. Because earlier in verse 6, Jesus said, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. So Jesus said, I've done what I came to do. I have manifested. So Jesus was the exact representation of God. And Jesus said, I have manifested. So now he is praying for all the believers because now it's our turn to manifest the power of God. The power of God to be demonstrated through whom? The believers. The believers. This is God's principle. So it's us. So we are praying for those that need to be saved. I am praying for those that still need to be saved. So how can we do that effectively? Well, good news is we have a helper, and he's very powerful. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. So when we come to pray, so these confident prayers, they don't come because of our own mind. They come by the Holy Spirit. I'm sure many of you experience this. You know, when you're in a prayer gathering, it's like every prayer, the person is trying to hit the target. And we sort of, we're like praying around here, and we're praying around there, and then by the Spirit, whoosh, words come out of our mouth that we didn't plan. You ever had that happen? And it's by the Holy Spirit, and you sense immediately that hit the target. I remember one time, one of our intercessors, who's in Africa, Tanalia, she phoned me in Melbourne and said, I would like you to pray with me. I would like you to pray because my son needs to go to university and we just don't have the funds and we don't have the ways. You know, she's working for YWAM and they've got quite a lot of persecution where they are. And we knew nothing about the circumstances. So we are on the phone and we're praying. I'm telling you, I just immediately, it was like, very often when you're in prayer like this, the gifts of the Spirit will come into operation. I believe this was the gift of faith because something exploded inside my spirit. Something just exploded. And it was a faith that I certainly didn't have. I don't even know this boy. I don't know him. I know nothing. But it was just like an explosion of faith, and I just felt such confidence in God and boldness. Surely this would happen. And we just prayed really. It was really, really powerful. I'm not saying this because it was not on myself. I can truly say this was not on myself. This was Holy Spirit. And then a few weeks passed. And then she sent a message back. And she said, this miracle happened. That miracle happened. This miracle happened. This happened. And he's in, praise God. And she said, something shifted when we prayed together, something shifted. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is our helper, and he puts into us what to pray. The words come out, and it's powerful, because they're the words of God. And the angels go and they do his business. They do the business. It's powerful. Confident prayer, because of the relationship that we have with the Lord and the helper that we have by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I discovered that boldness and confidence is the same word in Greek. It's the same word. A confident prayer, it's a bold prayer. A bold prayer is a confident prayer. And it's by the Holy Spirit. It's the same word. 2 Corinthians 3:4, which starts with, and we have such trust through Christ towards God. Because of Jesus, we have this confidence. This is why we can come boldly before the throne. We don't come in like orphans anymore. You know, when I lived at home with my parents and my family, We didn't have to go and ask for permission to have a drink of milk. It was assumed. You knew if you were hungry, you could go and take a piece of bread. We didn't need to beg. And even after I got married and I left home, anytime I went back for a visit, I would not need to ask for permission to come. I could just walk through the door. Why? Because I'm a daughter. I could just walk through the door. Even one time, Melvin and I had been on a mission in the US and had finished a bit early, and we decided to go back to my parents. We decided to surprise them. I didn't even inform them. I was a bit young at the time. And we just showed up. Why? Because we belong. We still belong. This is the boldness we can. You can go before your Father in heaven. Why? Because you're a son and a daughter. Is he going to hear you? Yes. Because you're family. We can come with boldness. Absolute boldness. There's something inside of us that comes alive. There's a scripture in Luke 17:21. And this is interesting because Jesus is not speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to the Pharisees and he says, "Indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." So the kingdom of God, the word of God, the kingdom is within. We have it inside. So even if you don't currently pray bold and confident prayers, you can. If you're born again because you've got the Holy Spirit inside, this is inside of you. But maybe it's kind of dormant. Maybe we're not practicing as much as we should. Maybe we're not applying as much as we should. That probably, I speak for myself, that goes for all of us. All of us. Why? We have such busy lives, don't we? Got very busy, a lot of demands on us. But this is important, to actually set aside time. Do you know that we rent this place from 10 a.m. every Sunday? And there's people that gather in the little room next door from 10 a.m. You want to come and join and pray for revival? Pray for a move of God. Come at 10 a.m. and join. The hall is here. We have intercession through the week on a Tuesday. It's on Zoom. There's many opportunities to gather. There is something special about setting aside a specific time to pray and be before the Lord. We all do it, you know, we're in the car and you're walking in the shopping aisles and you're praying. But there's something powerful by setting a time aside where you're just praying. Dedicated time. It's really powerful. That is the powerhouse. That is the powerhouse. Who we are before God is who we really are. The person I am is not what I'm standing here now. That's not important. Who am I when I am before God in prayer? That's our truth. That's who I truly am. Because nothing is a show. But a time before the Lord is so precious, so powerful. After the transfiguration, remember the disciples came to Jesus because there was this boy and they had tried to cast out the demon and they couldn't do it. And Jesus said, this sort of thing doesn't go without prayer and fasting. Some of the translation just says prayer, but all of them say prayer. In other words, you're not consecrated enough. You're not consecrated enough. The Lord has actually put some difficult cases on our path. And sometimes we feel, I personally, I feel the Lord is saying, you need more consecration to get a breakthrough. You want that kind of breakthrough? It takes more consecration. It is all by the Holy Spirit, but we have to learn to yield more. We have to align ourselves. We have to live. You know, it's the prayer of a righteous person, right living. All of our relationships have to be right. All of our relationships. We have to have right living. We have to do everything that's in Scripture. Yes. And then we need to press in. There's a pressing in. When the anointing comes, things become easy. When the presence and the glory of God comes, we have the privilege of being in environments where the glory of God was so tangible and so strong, things were really, really easy. You know, we would just pray and people would fall over and you're like, where did that come from? I guess it's because it's the Holy Spirit. So that's why we want to pray that then. Like the disciples said, God, show up with signs and miracles. And the presence of God comes. It is so wonderful. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We know who we are in Him. So we expect to receive. We have expectation. Things will happen. As I said in the beginning, God has given us so many prophetic words as a church, but also you individually, you have words, you have prophetic words, and you've got God dreams inside of you. You've got them. So you know the word of God and the written word and the spoken word. Pray therefore, come boldly before the throne so that you get breakthrough and you will start to see these things coming through. Now, what are the premises for a prayer? Number one, it has to be kingdom purposes. We don't pray just for our own kind of benefit, you know, I really fancy a sports car, blah, blah, blah. But we're praying kingdom purposes. I mean, don't get us wrong, because God wants to bless His people. But we're really focusing, because the scripture says, seek first the kingdom. When we seek first the kingdom, oh, His blessings are just so abundant, so marvelous. But it typically very often comes completely different from what we expect, and we're just overwhelmed by His goodness. But we pray in confidence, kingdom business. We are here on a specific assignment, every one of us. If God didn't need us, don't you think He would have just taken us on? He's got you on an assignment. Focus on your assignment. Focus on what God has got for you. The other thing is, don't come in any condemnation. Let's read 1 John 3:21. Tell me if you've got that up. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. If you've got condemnation, your confidence is gone. So we don't come to God in condemnation. It makes us very unstable. Then you start to doubt yourself. When we were doing the worship early on, Sarah was leading us in, you know, not to be afraid about the Lord's return. But when we look at ourselves, we start to doubt. So don't look at yourself. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the one. Whose righteousness is it? Oh, it's not my own. Oh, I'm so relieved. I'm not coming to God in my own righteousness. Do I need to live right? Absolutely. But I'm covered with the righteousness of Christ. And because of that covering, I'm able to now be wiser and live right before God. And when I make a mistake, He corrects me. And then I thank Him for His correction. You see? This is how we can be bold in our prayers, by not living in condemnation. Because it's relationship. It's relationship. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that we ask anything according to His will. He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked Him. Oh, it's so wonderful to partner with God like that. There's many examples in scriptures. I'm just going to mention them. I'm not going to read them out. That would be too long. But I think just remember Abraham. He negotiated with God. Come on. He negotiated. He negotiated all the way down to 10. He said, will you spare the city for 10? And God said, yes. He got what he negotiated for. Now, the city wasn't saved because there wasn't 10 righteous. The point is, he knew how to negotiate with God. Wow. That's coming boldly, isn't it? And that was in the old covenant. How glorious is that? I think he's a wonderful example. God listened to him. Elijah. What about Elijah? He prayed that it wouldn't rain. I think we need to bring Elijah back to Scotland, don't we? When I'm hanging out the washing, I'm practicing and it's not working, it's still raining. James 5:17-18. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Come on. He's just like you and me, so if he could do it, we can do it. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produces fruit. Wow, that is really strong. Confident prayer. Praying according to the will of God. The early church. Remember they prayed, Peter was in prison. And then he was actually set free, he's knocking on the door, and they think, oh, it's just his angel. Confident prayers, coming with boldness and confidence. Those kind of prayers, that is not being arrogant. That's not being self-promoting. It's just knowing who God is. We can pray like that because we know who he is and that he is faithful. Let us pray for revival. Let's bring on a greater move of God through confident prayers. Amen. As I finish, I would just like to read to you a definition of revival, because this is what we are praying for. Just to bring it really sharp into your spirit. What is revival? Revivals are a concentrated period of intense and often widespread ministry by the Holy Spirit. They have occurred throughout history, perhaps dating back to the days when Israel was in Egypt. Revival comes in many forms and for many various reasons, but they fall into two categories. One, movements of spiritual renewal and reformation amongst God's people. We need that. Number two, an outpouring of conviction amongst unbelievers, leading to repentance from sin and the conversion of many. Intercessors play a vital role in the ignition and spread of any revival. Part special ops team and part watchman on the wall, intercessors pray for revival to come and that it would be protected from distractions and distortions once it comes. During the revival of 1949 in the Hebrides Islands, evangelist Duncan Campbell observed that intercessors were engaged in travailing prayers, which is described as prayers in the anguish of childbirth. Let us pray like that to see the fulfillment, what God wants to do in this area. I know God has called you. You are here and you've come from many nations. God has called us here for a purpose. Let's pray then. Let's be bold and confident because God has called us. Amen.